www.scienceupdate.com.
Anyway, next up now, Sabina Mignovic went to talk to Dr. Hazel Wilkinson this week from Kew Gardens. She was called upon by the police to use her plant identification skills to help with a gruesome case. You might remember it. It was the torso in the Thames in 2001.
In 2001, the torso of a boy aged about 5 was found in the River Thames near Tower Bridge in London. Police believe this was a ritual killing, and much forensic work took place to try and identify the boy and lead the police to his killers. This forensic evidence included taking mineral samples from his bones, which matched those found in a rural area in southwestern Nigeria. Police travelled there to try and obtain further clues, as they think the boy, who they've named Adam, had only been in London for a short time before he was killed. Initial research into the contents of Adam's intestine revealed large amounts of plant matter, so the contents were sent to Dr. Hazel Wilkinson of the Jodrell Laboratory at the Royal Botanic Gardens, Kew, for identification.
In May 2003, material recovered from the lower intestine of the little boy known as Adam was sent by the police forensic department. Among the plant remains, there were also quartz grains, small particles of gold, small fragments of ground down bone, and in addition, the police picked up the largest pieces naturally of plant material that they could find. And these are very characteristic of tropical bean seeds.
The beans which Adam had been fed as part of the ritual had been ground up in a pestle and mortar, so the fragments in his gut were extremely small. In order for Hazel to be able to identify the beans under a microscope, she needed some whole beans for comparison.
I got some Calabar beans from our economic botany department, and I had to ask the herbarium for seeds of other beans, Schwarzia, Bogonia and Cassia. But when it came to the leaf material, unless I got stomata, hairs and glands on the specimen, it's extremely difficult to do anything at all.
Those are the bits from the underside of the leaf?
Yes, the lower surface of the leaf. And I was very fortunate in that we had a visitor here from Ibadan in Nigeria, where Adam is believed to have come from. And he brought with him some leaf material from one of the Ibadan markets. One of the leaves he gave me fitted exactly, which was so helpful. One of the leaves I found in Adam material. But it is really a very considerable battle to identify anything at all.
Despite the difficulty in identifying the stomach contents, Hazel was able to detect the presence of a couple of significant plants.
I feel convinced that a small amount of Calabar bean was probably in the meal that Adam had. But one of the most frequently found fragments are those of Datura, angel's trumpets. It's a member of the Solanaceae, that's the potato and tomato family. Now, I have bought, and also obtained from the herbarium, some seeds of Datura, ground them up in a pestle and mortar, and tried to compare them with the Datura in Adam's gut. And I feel convinced that there is quite a lot of it. Datura is well known historically for being of a sedative, hallucinatory nature, and it's still used for bad purposes today.
Hazel needed some clues to help her narrow the search when it came to identifying the rest of the contents. She obtained a book of spells, traditionally used in southwestern Nigeria, to give her an idea of what other plants might be present.
The use of plants in Yoruba society. Loads and loads of wonderful recipes supposed to do all sorts of things.
To appease one's spirit counterpart, to send smallpox to someone.
Yes. Most peculiar, to kill somebody. Of course, I've got a marker in that because I needed to look through these plants to see if there was anything in here.
Hazel's findings helped the police concentrate the investigation into specific channels, which assisted in uncovering a human trafficking ring between Nigeria and the UK. The police have as yet not been able to identify the perpetrators of this crime, but their investigations have further revealed underground sacrificial practices in London.
It would seem that Adam's sacrifice was to give somebody power and money. Now, where is his head? We don't know. But we do know that the head was considered to give the owner of it, especially in a child, youthfulness, extra brain power, and above all, access to more and more money.
Which suggests that having two heads is sometimes better than one. That was Sabina Miknovich, who was talking to Dr. Hazel Wilkinson from the Jodrell Laboratory at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew about how some of the forensic techniques and also a bit of local knowledge can sometimes lead you to some pretty startling conclusions.
Yeah, when we're asking you this week how old we think that fingerprinting is in terms of how using it to identify people. And on the line right now, we have Michael from Huntingdon. Hi, Michael.
Hello there.
Now, you think you've got an idea of how long we've been using fingerprints for. What's your guess at the answer?
I think it was in 1892 that they were first used.
Okay, well, I think we have definitely a general consensus in the studio that you're way too recent, actually, and it was much longer than that. And I had little birdie tells me that you study forensic science as well, so I'm surprised you got that wrong. But anyway, not to worry. Thanks for calling. Would you like to have a go at our fact or fiction quiz?
Yes, okay.
All right, here we go. A hippo pregnancy lasts 16 months, Michael. Fact or fiction?
Fact.
I'm afraid not. Despite the size of a hippo, it's actually shorter pregnancy than humans and lasts 8 months, although the newborn hippo does weigh 25 to 50 kilograms.
I'll try and redeem yourself on the second one of these, Michael. The atoms of a substance are most tightly packed in a liquid form. Is that fact or fiction?
That's fiction.
That's right. Excellent. No, atoms are most tightly packed in solids, much more closely packed in solids than liquids, and the atoms of a gas are spread out completely the most of all. So that's great. One out of two.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
See ya. So the Naked Scientists with Chris and Helen. It's our forensic show this week. In a second, we'll be talking to Trevor Emmett, who's from Anglia Ruskin University, about how we use forensic science and some of the techniques that he uses to try to do things, including helping the BBC with their Waking the Dead series.
Fancy listening to the Naked Scientists in your bed, on your way to work, or even at work? Why not subscribe to our podcast? For more information, visit nakedscientists.com/